Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And yes, it's good to be back with you. It's been a while. And before I get started on today's message, I want to take a moment to address something. I have my tissue ready. To address something that's been a little heavy on my heart lately. And so when I feel something heavy on my heart, I can't help but think that I might be heavy on the heart of some people here and in our country at large. And that is, there's been a lot of rhetoric and legislation targeting our transgendered brothers and sisters, a lot of anti-trans and anti-queer, anti-gay rhetoric and legislation. So it's impacted me, it's impacted my friends, and I know it's impacting people in this community, people in this state, people in our country. So all I want to say about that is, if you identify in any of those ways, if that's part of who you are, if that's part of how God made you to be in this world, or if somebody in your life that's close to you is experiencing this, just know that there are safe places, and this is one of them.
Amen.
Yes, this community. And anybody listening online who may be unfamiliar with Centers for Spiritual Living, and specifically this Center for Spiritual Living, know that you are always welcome here. Always welcome, just as you are. There's no reason to hide any of you if you walk into these doors or into the virtual space. So I just...
Thank you,
Bridget.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for... Yeah, I had to say something about that. So speaking of being our authentic selves, this whole month has been about cultivating authenticity. Because we know in Centers for Spiritual Living that every person that has ever been, is now, or ever will be, is a unique expression of the divine. So that means there's no reason to hide any of you, any part of who or how or what you are. So that's what this month is about. And Reverend Penny, your marvelous interim minister, I'm so glad she's joined you. She's got us kicked off this month with week one being about everybody else is already taken, so yeah, be you. Or as Emerson put it, imitation is suicide, right? So, and then last week was about taking off the mask, removing the bushel to shine that light that is you. So this week, we're going to continue this theme of authenticity with boundaries build bridges. Now, this being authentic and expressing our authentic self into the world can be a little scary sometimes. We might bump up against those societal norms and expectations, family expectations. We might bump up against maybe some past pain we experienced when we tried to be authentic. Maybe we were ridiculed or bullied, subjected to hate speech for being who we are. All these things can make us a little afraid, a little timid to be who we really are. Or we might bump up against our own limitations, our own feelings of inadequacy or not being enough. Yeah, that's in me, but I don't know if I can really do that. I don't know if I can really be that way. So all these things might make us a little scared to be our authentic selves. We might also rob people, other people, of their authenticity. We might do this when we form judgments or assumptions based on maybe we had an interaction with just one member of a certain group and now we judge the whole group. Or we can do this when we listen to gossip instead of listening to the people that are actually involved. We might rob people of their authenticity when we aren't fully accepting of who they are, which is what we're not about here. But sometimes, because we're in society, we do that, or we have past experiences, we do that. We might also do this when we're at a little mental lapse. Oh, yes. When we give unsolicited advice, as if we know better for somebody about their life than letting them rely on their own wisdom about how to address their life, how to address their situation. So we can be afraid, we can limit others, but boundaries can help us create that safe, sacred space for us to express who we are and for other people to express who they are. Because boundaries can create safety and a sense of sacredness. A lot of boundaries is about protecting what we consider sacred. So that's what we want to talk about today, is just that, boundaries. And I do mean boundaries, not walls. And the difference is boundaries are porous. They allow for an exchange, a give and take, a giving and receiving. Where walls, they're solid, they're impenetrable. So boundaries, not walls. You know, if we look in nature, we see that boundaries are the natural way of the universe, not walls. If we look at the very small level, cells, very cells themselves, they have a membrane that is porous. Membranes help hold the cell together. They hold in what the cell needs, but they let out the cell waste, and they let in, like for instance, a cell membrane will have little openings in it that only certain molecules of a certain size and shape can get in, and it's just what that cell needs. So it's porous. Our own skin may look impenetrable, but it's not. It lets out heat in the form of sweat, and it lets in sunlight that forms a chemical that ignites a chemical reaction in us, and we make vitamin D. So that too is porous. The earth itself has an atmosphere that keeps out harmful ultraviolet solar radiation, but lets in the heat and the light that is essential to life on this planet. So boundaries, porous membranes, are the way of the universe, not walls. Now, I will put one caveat on this. Sometimes a wall is necessary, an emotional wall. There may be those times when a person is so toxic to us that we can't have a relationship with them. It might not be possible to have a healthy relationship. So we might need a wall every once in a while. And that's a healthy wall. That's a healthy, more solid boundary. But most of the time, we want boundaries and not walls. You know, our ego wants to protect us. It's very good at protecting us. And sometimes it wants to throw up a wall when a boundary is all that's needed. You know, a wall says, do not enter. A boundary says, welcome, please enter here. A wall says, I'm scared, go away. A boundary says, I'm scared. This is what I need to feel safe. A wall says, this is too difficult. I'm out of here. While a boundary says, this is really difficult, and this is what I need to be able to stay. So that's what we're talking about today, is the difference between walls and boundaries, and how boundaries allow for self-expression. Nancy Levine, or Levine, put it, a boundary is a limit that you set to define what you will or will not do, or what you will or will not accept or tolerate from others. And if we look at this definition of boundary closely, what we see, there's a few things going on. There's some elements of protection, and there's some elements of expression. What we will or will not do, what we will or will not accept from others. So there's this dynamic of, what do we allow in? What do we not allow in? What do we allow out, in a sense of what we will do and what we won't allow out? Like, no, that's not me. I'm not doing that. So there's openings for protection, and there are openings for expression. So first, let's talk about healthy boundaries that help protect us. And again, in a healthy way, not the wall, but the boundaries. Healthy boundaries that protect us can protect us from undue outside influence. People trying to tell us how to be in the world. It's not their job to tell us, and we don't have to listen. Okay. Healthy boundaries can be based on past painful experiences, and we've learned from them, but instead of putting up a wall, we're just going to set boundaries around what helps us feel safe. Useful boundaries that protect us help us protect what we consider sacred in our lives and what we won't allow to be violated. And healthy boundaries are, of course, also about self-care. Boundaries we set that protect our time, our energy, what feeds us, what drains us, what serves us, and what doesn't. Those healthy boundaries that really protect us, but they protect us in a way that allows us to express. And that's the other side, or the other dimension, of porous boundaries, these boundaries that give us an outlet for expression. And here, it's what I call the holy no and the sacred yes. The holy no is the no we use to protect, you know, like our self-care, but it's also the holy no that says, no, that's not me. I'm not going to do that. And when we use the holy no, we create opportunities for the sacred yes. We create space for the sacred yes. I've said no to this, but yes to this. This expresses me. This allows me to be who I am. So this no and yes work in conjunction to let us express. The author, Paulo Coelho, who wrote The Alchemist, that's what he's most famous for, said, when you say yes to others, make sure you're not saying no to yourself. So balancing this no and this yes, the holy no and the sacred yes, also, when we use those, we have to be sure that our yes is used in a way that feeds us, not what other people are expecting of us. That's a boundary. But we can use no in the same way. Now, this kind of work, this setting boundaries and the no and the yes, these boundaries that protect us, these boundaries that give us an outlet for expression, takes inner work. It takes inner work to discover who we are and what our boundaries are, because we have to know who we are and what is important to us so we know where to set the boundaries. It takes inner work to ask the questions, what matters to me? What matters to my family, my community, my world? What feeds me? What drains me? What lifts me up? What brings me down? What do I consider sacred? So we had to be able to answer these questions to know where to put the boundaries, where to use our yes and where to use our no. And this is inner work because we have to spend that time in our inner exploration. We might need a regular meditation practice or even extended time. I'm a huge fan of meditation retreats, so you can have that extended time in the silence to really do a deep exploration. You might just need to regularly schedule time alone, even a solo vacation, if you can imagine. Right? Time to take that self-examination and answer those most important questions so we know what is ours to do, what isn't, and where our boundaries are, so we can protect and express. Now, the setting boundaries and communicating them and actually enforcing them takes a lot of courage. But we can build this courage by exercising it like a muscle. Communicating our boundaries to those around us and actually enforcing them, the more we do it, the better we get at it, right? And we can take courage in knowing that if this is about expressing our inner true self, which is an expression of God, then God's got us. If you're going to set your boundaries and use your yes and your no in a way that serves you, you're using it in a way that serves the spirit in you. So take courage, take strength in knowing that God's got you in this. You have the strength. You have the courage to do this. You might disappoint some people. You might aggravate some people to the point where they may not want to be in your life anymore, or they want to distance themselves. Shannon Alder put it this way: be honest with who you are, what you want, and how you want to be treated. Boundaries only scare off the people that were not meant to be in your life. So if you're a little afraid to set boundaries because you might offend people or push them away, they might even accuse you of pushing them away, stand true in yourself and know, well, I set that boundary and that person's not able to honor it. Maybe that person isn't supposed to be an integral part of my life. Now, how do these boundaries build bridges? Well, we have to start with the spiritual principle that we teach in Centers for Spiritual Living, that every single person is the individual expression of spirit, is individualized expression of the one life. So what that means, if you take that apart, is yes, we are individuals, but we are most definitely not separated. We are connected in the one life, the only life, life with a capital L, the big life that's going on anywhere in the universe. So yes, my body seems to be separated from your body, but we're all part of the one body of the one life. My emotional life, my mind, seems to be separated from your mind and your emotional life, But we're all, our minds are connected in the one mind, which is, by the way, why affirmative prayer works. My spirit, my soul, that thing that makes me me, is different from yours and seems to be separate, but is connected in the one spirit, the one larger transcendent spirit. And what this means for building bridges is, while we're each individuals, because we're connected in the one life, the bridges are already there. We just have to discover them and use them. Because while we appear to be separated, there is no separation. So that bridge between me and you, that bridge between you and your loved ones, that bridge between you and the person you might be estranged from, is already there. And boundaries and spending that time in self-reflection and self-examination and knowing who we are and knowing what our boundaries are and then having the courage to implement those boundaries is what uncovers those bridges. Ernest Holmes wrote, "Each individual is a unique variation in the universe. No two people are alike. Yet all people are rooted in that which is identical." So that's what I'm saying here. Because we're connected, it's like that common language already exists. And a lot of times, most of the time, maybe all the time, it's in that common love. That love that exists between all of us. And actually, setting boundaries and using them, enforcing them, is an act of love. Because when we use our boundaries, we're telling other people, this is how you can connect with me. This is how you can love me. When we set our boundaries and enforce them, we also let people know where our landmines are that they might not otherwise be aware of, okay? And we all have them. And the people out there didn't install them, so we need to let them know where those landmines are. Brené Brown. Compassionate people ask for what they need. They say no when they need to, and they say yes when they, when they say yes, they mean it. They're compassionate because their boundaries keep them out of resentment. So when we use our boundaries and we're showing people how to connect with us, where that bridge is, we're staying out of resentment. Because when we don't use our boundaries, it's like saying, I don't respect myself, so I don't really expect you to either. And that's just going to end up in resentment. That doesn't serve me. It doesn't serve the other person. So using our boundaries is an act of love and an act of compassion. And we have to remember this when we're interacting with other people, that they have their boundaries, of course, too, right? So honoring their boundaries is also an act of love. When we honor another person's boundaries, we're saying, I see you. I hear you, I honor you, just the way you are, just the way God made you, without judgment. I'm willing to honor your boundaries and meet you where you need to be met so you can express who and how you are. And I do this even when I don't understand, because they're your boundaries and I accept them. There's a beautiful story that illustrates this. It's from a movie, I think it was made in 2000, called Billy Elliot. I love that movie. So it's Billy Elliot is a young boy. He's 11 years old. And his mother has just recently passed away. It's in a small mining town in northern England. and I can't remember if I said this, is placed in 1984. The movie's 2000, but the setting is 1984. There's a miner strike going on. His dad is a miner. His older brother, Tony, is a miner. So there's a lot of stress in the family, a lot of economic stress. Mom has recently died. Dad seems to have a good relationship with the older son, Tony, but his relationship with Billy seemed strained. You can tell they just don't connect. Well, despite the economic hardship, Dad is giving young Billy money to take boxing lessons, because it's a very manly thing to do, right, in 1984 England, I guess. Well, one day, Billy's at his boxing lesson, and he notices there's a dance lesson going on the other side of the community gym. All girls. It's a ballet lesson. He's kind of intrigued. So he stays after boxing lesson. He kind of mills about around the dance class, and eventually he's invited in. He kind of begrudgingly does so. He starts learning the basic ballet postures, which I will not try to imitate. And something is unlocked in him. Something is unleashed. Billy loves it. And before long, he's using the money Dad gives him for boxing lessons to pay the dance instructor. But Dad doesn't know this is going on. This is all on the slide. And this dance instructor sees, man, this young man, he's got a real fabulous natural talent. And so the teacher even arranged for him to have an audition with the Royal Ballet Academy in London, which is quite a trip. And they're working on their dance that he's going to use for his audition. Part of that is the instructor says, Billy, let's bring in some things that are meaningful to you, some things that have emotional value for you, so we can kind of use them to help us create this dance. And one of the things he brings is a letter from Mom. A letter that Mom had written her young son when she knew she was going to die. It was meant for Billy to open when he was 18, but he opened it early. He just couldn't help it. And he recites the letter for his teacher, and one of the very last lines in the letter is, "Always be yourself, Billy." And that gives him strength. So he's working on his audition, all on the sly. The day before he's supposed to go to his audition, there's a family emergency. He misses the audition. He can't go. But it doesn't stop him from dancing. He's still dancing. And eventually, Dad finds out about it. And Dad is, like, so angry. He's like, what are you doing? Dancing isn't for boys. It's for girls only, especially ballet. And Billy really challenges, pushes back and says, no, Dad, dancing, even ballet dancing, is totally normal, even for boys. Well, Dad's like, no, no more money for boxing, no more money for dancing, no more dancing. So Dad is trying to set a boundary, but it's not a very healthy one. It's not a very good one. It's going to blow up. So Billy keeps dancing. He's not taking lessons anymore, but he keeps dancing. And one day he's in the gym dancing with his friend Michael. And he's just having a ball. He's dancing and dancing. And Dad walks in. He doesn't see Dad. Dad is watching him. And Billy's dancing. He does this big spin and he stops. There's Dad. Like, uh-oh. I'm not supposed to be dancing. But then he looks Dad in the eye. And you could see his determination. And he takes off and he dances his heart out in front of his dad. He's having a ball. And his dad's just standing there like, what the heck is going on? And Billy deliberately ends his dance right in front of Dad and looks him in the eye. Billy is setting a boundary. He's telling his dad without any words, you can take away my dance lessons. You can accuse me of being something I'm not, Dad was insinuating his son must be gay because he's a dancer, whatever. But Billy's setting a boundary. You can make assumptions, you can take away lessons, but you cannot stop me from being a dancer. I am going to dance. So without a word being said, he set that boundary. Dad leaves, but Dad is seeing his son's talent. And he's determined to get this boy. He's had a change of heart. He's responding to that boundary Billy has set, and he's determined to help him become a dancer. But he hasn't said this to Billy yet. He arranges for a new audition at the academy. He rallies all the minors. They raise the money they need to get Billy to the audition. And while all of this is going on, there's this huge transformation in their relationship. Billy set those boundaries, and his dad responded because he saw who his son is. He's a gifted, born dancer. And all that awkwardness between them changes. They're having a father-son relationship. They're hugging, they're laughing, they're making plans together. So Dad takes Billy to his audition in London. Of course, Billy gets into the academy, or the whole point of the movie would be wasted. So of course, Billy is accepted. The next scene is years later. Billy has gone from this little skinny kid to this great, big, strong dancer. And it's the opening night of Swan Lake, and Billy has the lead male role. And his dad and his brother make the long trip, and they find their seats, and Dad says to the usher, "Tell Billy Elliot his family is here." So Billy set those boundaries. He told his dad, "I'm going to be me, and you don't get to tell me I'm not." Billy showed his dad, "This is how you can love me. This is how you can support me." And his dad honored that. His dad responded to that. And that bridge of relationship, that bridge of love between a father and a son was revealed, because it had always been there. And they're there for each other. So this week, I just want to invite each of us to spend some time asking the question internally in our heart space. Where have I set healthy boundaries and the bridge is established? Where could I do a better job of setting some boundaries? Where could I do a better job of helping those in my life know how to love me? And of course, where can I do a better job of respecting somebody else's boundaries and letting them be their full, authentic self? So let's spend some time with that this week. And now let's pray together. As I breathe in and release, as I see those gorgeous Colorado mountains in my mind's eye, with the snow caps, that life-giving water gorgeous Colorado blue sky. As the gentle music reminds me of my inner peace, my inner sanctuary, my holy of holies. I simply give thanks for all that Spirit is, for all that it expresses in the universe, in the night sky, on this gorgeous planet we get to live on. For all that Spirit expresses through me, through each person here, through each person listening online. For all that Spirit expresses in the space in between. Knowing that even in the empty space is not really empty. That all things are connected. All bodies, all minds, all souls are connected in the one. No separation between any two people, between any groups of people, between any nations. That all the bridges for meaningful connection and healthy, loving relationships are already there. They're just part of the fabric of the universe. And each of us hearing this message and taking it to our hearts does the work to reveal those bridges, to meet our loved ones on those bridges. Honoring each and every person just as they are, wherever they are on their path, on their evolution. No judgment, only acceptance. And I give thanks. I give thanks for this sacred space where all are welcome. And we all feel safe and are safe to express. And I give gratitude knowing that each and every one of us takes this into our lives, into our families, into our communities, and into our world, bringing just a little more God into the life, into the days of our lives and the lives of others. Bringing a little more of that love, a little more of that peace, a little more of that wisdom and joy into the world. Drop by drop. And with gratitude for just the way Spirit is and how it operates through us, I simply release these words, my prayer, this prayer, the prayers of every person here, into that creative aspect of the one, that part of the one that only knows yes. It is done in mind, it is done in form, and so it is.